When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. We've got new tag team champions, we've got Money in the Bank qualifiers, and of course, that tape. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce and Justin, riding high on the success of the Orioles, LeBar. Justin,
Birdland,
good to see you, buddy.
Riding high for the season. We're actually on a few games of losing streak, a rare one for us these days. But overall, we're still fine. We're still one of the top three baseball teams in the league. So yes, riding high, Birdland all the way. Yeah, feeling good.
Flobo, you're a baseball fan. How's your team doing?
The Mets are always in the news for some reason. Sticky stuff, sweat and rosin, we don't know. But I will say, I went to Baltimore Camden Yards on June 1st. Love the park. The OG. Yeah.
It's amazing. That park opened up in 93, I think, and it still holds up as being, like you said, like it was the OG of parks, of the new era of parks, of getting out of the, you know, the football fields. And it still holds up all these years later. It's great.
Yeah. I felt so sad for the White Sox. They hit right before the cusp. So yeah, they're in this old park, but not the new one stuff. So,
was a longtime Mariners fan who never gave up on them during the hard times. I'm glad to see that they're doing well right now. Big, really happy for myself, sticking by them through and through to the end. Let's get into some wrestling talk. Of course, everyone, thank you so much for joining us and being with us, whether you're in the chat or lurking. Like, comment, share, subscribe. You know the deal.
Shout out to the lurkers. I forget we always put up the lurkers on Monday nights.
Lurkers.
If they're lurking like Liv, I might be a little bit concerned about our lurkers.
Yeah, we've got that. That has kind of taken a turn in how I am perceiving this whole situation. I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. We do have some news, though, where we're going to get a sneak peek. You know, watch me, they say. Let's watch what happened at WrestleMania XL. Behind the curtain, WrestleMania XL, Triple H tweeted, "The road to WrestleMania XL was all about finding magic amidst the chaos. Now we're showing you how it really went down." WrestleMania XL Behind the Curtain premieres July 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on WWE's YouTube channel. Justin, there's actually a lot to take away from this little message here. One, we're going to get the video, or we're going to get to see what happened behind the scenes, but also it's going to be on YouTube as opposed to many of the other broadcast options. What are you looking forward to with this? What was your take on this news coming out? What are you hoping to see? The YouTube news, et cetera. Break it all down for me.
Well, yeah, it did strike me that they said they set a time for a premiere on WWE's YouTube rather than it being on the network, on Peacock. So that is interesting. That certainly is a different approach than they've done in the past. I'm sure they have. I'm sure Triple H and his chief content officer role and his team, I'm sure they have some strategy of why they're doing this, or they feel that it might be easier to share. And The Rock is such a social, you know, icon, social media icon. So I'll be curious to see what the comment section looks like, if they allow comments, all that. Yeah, but it is interesting. That's a choice for them. And look, this is highly anticipated. If you guys recall, they kind of had a start and stop with this. They teased this project to air, I think, right after Mania, if I recall. It's like going to be like the Wednesday after Mania initially. There was going to be this look behind the curtain of how we got to this main event of Mania, which we all watched unfold and can clearly tell was not the original plan. And then all of a sudden, it just didn't happen, and it went quiet. And, you know, why? I don't know if we'll ever know. You know, like, was it, did The Rock not like how he was portrayed in it? I don't know. Or did they feel like they had more footage they wanted to acquire before they pieced it together? Did they feel, no, let's not put this out 4 days after WrestleMania? It's gonna kill kayfabe if we just immediately, you know, have Cody win it and we try to have all this emotion and then we just show all the, pull the curtain back. You know, I don't know. It could have been anything, but I'll be tuning in like everybody else because again, previous regimes, I don't know if WWE would have in the same calendar year even put out a documentary that acknowledges we were going to go one way and then we pivoted because of the fans. WWE didn't put anything out there like that when Dan O'Brien conquered at WrestleMania 30. Vince is not going to give you the stats back, knowing that you hijacked his pencil. So this
I messed up.
Oh, right. This is certainly another showing of time to change and the new regime at least leans into today's media landscape and social media landscape.
Which is kind of funny to me that they wouldn't. When you think about it, you want the crowd to be loud and obnoxious and feel like their voice is heard. And so to hide the fact that their voice was heard seems a little counterintuitive to me. But Flobo, same kind of questions to you, thoughts on this, but also how accurate do you expect this to actually be? There's obviously a lot of rumors going into it about what certain people wanted versus what actually happened.
Right.
Do you think that this is going to be a company friendly video, or do you think we're going to get some tea spilled?
I don't think it's going to be tea spilled. I think they're going to say they messed up and put it on the fans, right? YouTube is a platform, definitely concerted. I think what I heard the rumors were, the official rumors, I'm not sure what really happened, was they want to keep adding more footage. It just got out of hand. And so what you do is whatever you decide to do, you can always go back and say, thanks to the fans, you guys made it happen, and it's out the door. Now, I know some cynical people are like, well, you know, The Rock needs all the PR you can get, but I don't think a YouTube video can change what you think about the guy. So I'm going to kind of curious as to why it took so long. I'm assuming it's going to be an hour, maybe longer or shorter, but what is the intent from further on? Is this going to be a new strategy for a Crown Jewel, for a SummerSlam, for the Royal Rumble, or is it going to be just a one-off situation?
And I think it's worth mentioning, too, you know, the last one of the last, at least, I can't, they put out so much content, but one of the last, you know, high profile documentaries that WWE released was the one looking at the career of Bray Wyatt and his legacy. But what was at the very end of that? You got all of this true life, all of this true heart emotion of this, you know, sudden tragic passing of a performer and a man. But at the very end, we got that tease. Before there was any QR codes or anything, we got that tease that the Uncle Howdy character and the Bray Wyatt legacy on WTV was not done. We got that tease. That was the big thing, the big news that came out of that documentary. I say all that to say, again, maybe a new strategy of how WWE approaches certain things and certain little cliffhangers, little red herrings. Maybe part of the delay also on putting this out is, okay, we called the audible, we did. We had the WrestleMania that we had. They seemingly called an audible where WrestleMania is going to be next year. It's going to be in Vegas, where a lot of people thought it was going to be Minnesota. So they obviously were doing even more audibles. And so maybe they figured out, okay, here's what we're doing at Mania next year. Is there something in this documentary that we want to include or don't want to include that will help or hinder whatever story it is that they're going to, you know, we see the bloodlines continuing on, but like, I'm wondering if they maybe delay this again to try to figure, okay, how do we want this documentary to end? Because however this ends, we don't want it to be a complete, counter product to what it is we're going to try to tell in the ring moving forward with this whole Bloodline, Final Boss, Tribal Chief stuff.
You know, as you were saying that, Scott Langford put in the chat, wonder if they wanted to wait for Seth to come. Wait, that wasn't what I wanted to look for.
sorry, Scott.
I mean, that's sorry, Scott. No, wonder if they want to. There was a, James Curtis said, could this be used as a story arc to bring The Rock back into the fold? Scott Langford added, and to lead into Roman and Rock. Yeah, this is, I love this because we're always finding ways of how we can blur reality in pro wrestling. And I think that this is exactly how you can do that, by blurring the lines, making us wonder what's real, what's part of the show. Flobo, I think this is a great way for them to try to do that in a different way. And as far as the timing goes, it does feel a little bit like if they wanted something to happen at SummerSlam, it's timed perfectly for a teaser if The Rock or Roman were to be making their return soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big picture here is I think we're looking now, the crowds are getting smarter by the day. And I do think the fact it's on YouTube says a lot of what it's going to be immediately used going forward. This isn't like a prestige documentary you'll see on Peacock or USA on a Sunday night. They're doing this. That's where the kids are. The kids, the youths. So yes, give me all the teases. Give me the stare downs. Give me all the micro things we didn't say. We're all caught up in the emotion of things. I'm sure story beats were glossed over in the moment. These are things you're going to pull for next year, especially what the heck The Rock give Cody the next night on Raw.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that plays out. In the chat, let me know if you wanted to, if you're going to be watching this documentary, if you're excited, what you'd like to see from it, and if you'd like to see it play into maybe what happens at SummerSlam right around the corner. Someone who's used some things outside of the ring to get a little bit of buzz going is a fellow by the name of Joe Hendry. And he, of course, he was on NXT. His video had a ton of views on it. I think it was the second most of the week or something along those lines. Justin, I got to ask you, do you believe in Joe Hendry?
I mean, how can you not? I mean, yeah, I don't have all the stats in front of me. You alluded to it. I mean, you talked about this week. I think he's up there in terms of this calendar year for WWE on their social of you know, how quick he accumulated the views that he did. I mean, and that says something. Right. That says something that a guy who doesn't work for your company, and no disrespect to TNA, because I'm a supporter of this TNA resurgence that they're trying to have this year. But, you know, he works for TNA. It's not like TNA has is the most visible, you know, I mean, in terms of the distribution, everything. So, you know, for him to, you know, naturally and virally have captured the buzz that he has from the wrestling community, and for his unadvertised appearance on NXT, again, not Raw, not SmackDown, NXT, to be this shared and this talked about, I mean, I think it kind of speaks to kind of the same thing I would say to Jordan Grace. Obviously, Jordan Grace didn't go as viral as Joe Hendry is, but I've said with Jordan Grace, it seems clear that WWE is prepared to let her be a full-time talent on their roster whenever contractually and legally that could be possible to happen. I'd have to say the same thing about Joe Hendry, unless his flame really burns out somewhere between now and whenever that contractual time would be. I got to think this is them in a way saying, wow, we got a spot waiting for this guy. He's an entertainer and we do entertainment.
Flobo, is there for so many years, I mean, up until recently, really, that felt like there was a wall between different companies. I don't know, I was talking about talent working together, but it felt like, if you're in WWE on the main roster, you're at this level. If you're at NXT, you're at this level,
right?
So on and so forth. And if you're below a certain level, the fans at the higher level probably don't know who you are. You're not going to get reactions. You're going to need to educate the audience. Is that way of thinking with the internet and YouTube and the ability to go viral, are those walls breaking down? Because Joe Hendry, again, with all respect to TNA, if you just look at the viewing numbers, which wrestling fans love to do, not a lot of people are watching TNA compared to an NXT or a WWE as a whole. But the numbers of the views show that clearly there is a huge fan base beyond what ratings say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fans themselves are breaking that wall down themselves. I mean, Joe Hendry's reaction in NXT Is it still the CWC? I'm not sure. Was this kind of high? It was loud. It was loud. Everyone knew who the heck he was. Of course, wrestling is a storytelling art form, so it could be the most. It could be Beyonce, and of course, if on AEW, for example, you'll have Excalibur going, "Oh my gosh, it's multi-platinum winning." They'll try to do that to reestablish, but yet you don't have to do a whole lot. Joe Hendry was in that battle royal for what, 2.5 minutes? And I look, and I understand. I don't watch as much TNA as we should. But what made the whole I Believe in Joe Hendry stuff great, it was that TNA's production really like played it up as it was a magic trick. It was always camera elsewhere, the song will play, and then whip pan and he'll show up. And that's how you make yourself visible to a small core and have it grow. It's the most viral indie rock band thing ever. So we're all rooting for Joe Hendry now. The question now becomes, you have the spotlight, you have the exposure, you got the views. What do you do with it, Joe?
Yeah, well said. Well said. What Flubba just said. He hit it perfectly.
That's why he's here on Monday on the flagship show.
Yeah, it is. Can I come too? Yeah.
speaking of the flagship show, I do want to give a quick shout out to Malik Black, who says, "Super chat. Can't watch the whole recap, but I just want to say Braun Breaker is that guy, and Drew versus Sheamus versus Ilya got me making Tama Tonga sounds." Justin, what are those sounds that Tama Tonga made? What was that one?
No, I'm not falling for that trap. I'm not going to be the Joe Hendry viral sensation on the internet. I got a whole bunch of Hawk Tui. I ain't doing all that. You ain't getting me on that. No, sir. Hawk Tui 316. That's what I say.
And it's like, I'm not doing that thing the kids are doing, the Hawk Tui.
They missed an opportunity. How did Liv Morgan not give a Hawk Tui to Dom tonight?
You know, well, she tried. So we got some really big news as far as the big events go. WWE announced the host city for the Royal Rumble and future SummerSlam and WrestleMania in the first of its kind deal, committing to the big three PLEs to a city in advance, along with numerous other shows to take place in the city and state. In a press release, it announced that they were committing to a two-night SummerSlam as well. So it appears two-night SummerSlams will begin to be a regular in the future, talking about Indianapolis, of course. Flobo, three big PLEs, the biggest PLEs, and I may have missed this. Are they sequential? Is it like three in a row or just in the future?
It's going to be in the future. No dates have not been determined. Although the Royal Rumble is February 1st of next year, so mark calendars.
So that said, obviously great for the city, great venue. Do you think that is this a good idea? Like, hey, we're making money, we got these contracts in place, or do you think you're going to burn out a city in its biggest events? Is this kind of a risky play?
It's a risky play only if whatever the projections Indiana has is missed. And I was saying this on the Friday night, the state commerce or business commerce people at Indianapolis have been flooding all of my radio channels with like, hey, invest in Indy. The future is now. So they're taking a page out of Saudi Arabia's book, which is a weird thing to say. I apologize. But yeah, you get the idea. Like they're trying to invest in sports and more like that. The question I have because these big events are so big, everyone's going to come roll from all over the world. I'm not worried about that kind of burnout. I'm worried about the backyard burnout. If I am, I don't know, the Cricket World Cup and I can't get in or I can't make the numbers of WrestleMania, will that be a problem down the line? But like I said, it's a down the line problem. If you have wrestling that's hot, it is a sport you can control because it basically comes and it goes. Why not invest what you can?
Yeah. Justin, do you think this is a good move?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to get, well, I mean, from WWE standpoint, they're obviously going to get paid and they're going to get whatever they're getting from whatever the revenue cut's going to be with Indianapolis. And, you know, they're expanding these events to two nights and they're going to sell them out. There's not a question. I think we've seen WWE has proven that they, especially in the direction they are now, they have the creative depth. They're going to sell out. So I don't love, and right now the Rumble's still the only one that's still one night. Mania's two nights, of course. Now SummerSlam, we now know is going to be two nights in Indy. I think in 2026, it's already two nights in Minneapolis. I think it's when they announced that.
Yep.
So I don't love the thought of Rumble going to two nights. And I know that there's two Rumble matches with the women's and men's. I don't love that one, but you know, whatever. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but probably inevitable. But no, it makes sense. You know, it's creating a destination. It's creating like, okay, like now those who are either local in Indy or who travel from other cities. And that's been one of the big things, right? I heard Pat McAfee talking about that earlier today, is that if you look at Indianapolis, if you've actually looked at it on a map, it actually is very easy to get to from a lot of other major cities. And so they're expecting it'll be easy, you know, to get people in, you know, so you go to Rumble, you have a good experience at Rumble, you know, you have a nice time there in the city, nice hotel experience, nice nightlife experience, nice sightseeing experience. And you know, okay, they're coming back from Mania and SummerSlam in the next 2 to 3 years here. You know, I'm coming back because this is a great experience. Like, it's, I don't really see any fault. I don't, they're not going to, as long as they space the events out, which they're going to have to, they're not going to burn the audience out. They'll do Rumble next February 1st. Obviously we know Mania can't be in there that year because it's in Vegas. I doubt they'd go back in SummerSlam. I'd love for them to come here in Pittsburgh. Hint, hint. You know, so they'll space them out enough. So yeah, I don't see how this is really a bad thing for WWE. It's just it all again, it creates more demand. Now, I'm sure you have other cities that are calling WWE trying to figure out, hey, we've seen the press releases of how much money your major events brings to our economy. How do we get on this? And then it becomes a bidding war. And this, you know, watch the earning calls in these future years. WWE set record profits last for 2023. It's only going to keep going up. With the merger and them cutting, I hate to use this corporate phrasing, but it is, as they cut corporate redundancies in the workplace, right. Mm-hmm. Which means we're laying off people that have more than the same job. Mm-hmm. They're just going to keep printing money and profit.
But that begs the question, though, like the Super Bowl and the Olympics and the World Cup are kind of like whatever. But if I am the mayor of
whatever.
I'm the mayor of whatever. If I'm the mayor of a town, like, say, I don't know, Laredo, Texas, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm interested in getting a WWE pay-per-view, PLE. How does SummerSlam differ than, say, Backlash for someone who doesn't understand the legacy of SummerSlam? You know what I mean? I think that's a small issue, but it's something to consider moving forward.
Well, I think mayor of Laredo, Flobo.
Dark Toon.
That's when somebody from a 203 Stanford number gives you a call and goes, hey, look here. We're international at this point. We're doing at least half, if not more, of our PLEs internationally around the world. If Laredo would like a nice Monday Night Raw, we'd be happy to come in on a Monday on Netflix for you. But I think what I mean is WWE's proven there's going to be no more secondary markets for a PLE, even a PLE like a Backlash. And Backlash, which used to be the sloppy seconds of WrestleMania, Backlash they took to a suburban.
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, it was said on Raw.
It's fresh on my mind. Sloppy seconds. They've proven even a sloppy seconds like Backlash from WrestleMania, they're taking it to a suburban city outside of Paris, and they got one of the greatest crowds ever. So I think from here on out, even if you're a second tier PLE, you're going to go to a major city anywhere on this globe. Laredo, Texas, I'm sorry. Again, best you're getting is a Raw or SmackDown.
It's cutting a promo, Laredo, bro.
But, you know, and to double back on that, I think to your point, Flobo, about what differentiates them, if you're someone who's booking an event, like these venues and things, they don't care about the historical significance to the WWE. They're going to say, how much did this event sell last year? What did it do the year before? What are the numbers it's doing? And WWE is smart in that too, because now Backlash, before they'd say, oh, we sold this many tickets, but now they're like, well, this year it generated this much money. And so they can probably leverage that a lot. And as far as booking all these in advance, I think it's a very smart idea. As someone who has been self-employed since 2017, let me tell you, if you can get paid today, to get that money today. Because right? Also, if you're all booked up as well, look, there's a reason fancy clubs have long lines out the door and no one can get in, and it makes them all pay even more to stand in that line.
I get it.
This is absolutely smart in every single way, because if WWE's like, look, if you want one of our big events, you might be able to get one in 4 years. Going to cost you, though. By the way, we're the hottest we've ever been. Stock's going up, so we're going to have to raise the price. This is just slam dunk all around.
And one other thing to that, Jack, and again, going back, I was being funny, but also serious. Like, hey, you know, to a town like Laredo, we'll give you Monday Night Raw. When Raw moves to Netflix, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Triple H's interview today on Pat McAfee's show, but he spelled it out pretty, you know, like he talked about how, like, once they get to Netflix and they're going to be live on Netflix, you know, obviously USA Network, is what it is in the United States. And then all the other Monday Night Raw deals, you know, Sky Sports in the UK and India has, like, they have all these different property, different distribution deals and properties elsewhere. But once Raw moves to Netflix, I think he said they're going to be on 80, they're going to be accessible live at the same time to 80% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so not only, again, if you're saying, okay, now all of a sudden it goes from, okay, Monday Night Raw live on the USA Network from Laredo, Texas. Now, no, Laredo, Texas, you're live to the entire world on Netflix, one of the biggest streaming giants on the planet. So while that doesn't translate into dollars that day for, you know, for the town, it's still a big deal. You know, Netflix otherwise has, you know, a whole bunch of great series that are produced in Hollywood or produced on sound stages. You know, they're just starting to dip their toe into live content, you know, with the Tom Brady roast, whatever. They've never had live content that's emulating from a different geographic location live every week until they start getting it with Raw. So that's the thing too. If you're a town that, like, you know, and we see how Monday Night Raw, they come in and out of breaks and stuff. They got the drone shots of the monuments and how good the skyline looks or whatever. There is a little bit of, like, if you're a town that has Monday Night Raw, you're getting a little bit of tourism promotion and activity on Netflix of, like, hey, come to Laredo. Look how great the skyline looks. Look how great this looks. You know, I mean, that's a real thing that WWE's going to have on their leverage side of when they are on Netflix is Netflix is, you know, so much bigger than USA Network, and they're going to be reaching an entire worldwide audience at the same time.
It's also a little more future-proofed as more and more people leave broadcast TV. Most people don't watch broadcast TV anymore. Mm-hmm. They only watch the streaming services where, at least for the time being, Netflix seems to be something that's going to be around for a while. Of course, that can change quick. So do not clip this out because that might not be accurate soon enough. But for now, as of this moment, Netflix is going to be around for a while. Someone who's not going to be around for a while is Kayla Braxton. She is announced that she is stepping away from WWE to pursue some other opportunities and that this week will be her last event. She also wanted to clarify that just because other companies had interest in her does not mean she was talking to said companies. Justin, this is big loss. She's a very famous, well-known person who did a great job for WWE. So it's probably got to be a bummer for them to lose her. And it'd be interesting to see what comes next for Kayla Braxton.
Yeah, I'm sure she has things lined up. And she is going to be outside of the pro wrestling world. I absolutely believe her and what she said there. I got a chance to, her and I were at a gathering last fall. I got a chance to talk with her, and I mean, such a very nice person. But what I want to get at is, and both of you can speak to this, you know, working in the media and entertainment world, you can fake some things, but one of the things you can't fake is just how you hold yourself up in company, how you hold yourself up, but how you speak about your coworkers, how you speak about your industry, how you, that's something that's hard to fake. You can easily see through when somebody is somebody's, you know, blowing smoke or somebody, whatever, when you can tell that they have more than one face. And what I remember, the impression I got of talking to her and spending a little bit of time with her and then talking to other people who knew her even better and who have worked with her, is she is such a solid pro, such a solid person. She's going to have no problem. And again, I have to assume she has something lined up. She's going to have no problem in the entertainment industry or whatever it is she specifically is going to go on and do with whatever opportunity she can get. She was very well liked at WWE from all I can tell. And again, from my personal experience from this gathering, I can see why. So sucks we won't see her on WWE TV, but I'm sure we'll be able to see her somewhere else. So best of luck to her.
Yeah, and Flo, I want to clarify, when I say not a big loss, I mean she's not like a wrestler who's in the middle of a storyline or something along those lines. She's,
yeah, I got it. You know, I didn't say anything, Jack.
No, I just
I want to clarify, Flobo.
You know, calm down. You know how the internet works, like Jack, like the report. Jack
for those for those who are just listening to the audio, Flobo has been pacing and throwing his pen and paper at what Jack was saying.
Just to clarify, Flobo.
He was just like cartoon steam blowing out of his ears.
Oh boy, so much heat with Caleb Braxton right now. He's just amazing. Make sure we cut that clip. Flobo has so much heat with Caleb Braxton.
Report. Oh, no. I'm sorry. What are you saying?
Clearly, she's a beloved person. It's gonna hurt to lose Caleb Braxton.
Yeah, you know, I realize that entertainment is not a sport, and sport is not a real job. And what I mean by that is Kayla has been performing at a high level for years, but her role has been pretty much the same. Not in a bad way. I mean, she's the host of The Bump, and she was doing the backstage stuff. But if you are a host or presenter or an actress, or I'm not sure if she has any other skills, like in that kind of entertainment things, maybe you want to try something new. I remember when Billy Peterson walked away from CSI, because I'm an old man, to go back to Broadway. I was like, what are you doing? CSI is the best TV show or the most watched TV show at the time. But it was more like his own craft. And so Kayla Becker, the shoot name, has hosted so many what do you call, like, in-hotel, like, travel shows? I bet there's something along those lines for her, too, out there as well. So best of luck in her next chapter.
Those hotel videos, by the way, are always just a treat when you see someone like, oh, I know that person. It's so many people who are broadcasters are in those just around the world. It's funny to see. Last bit of news here to cover before we get into the show, and we're going to talk about that videotape, and I'm going to want everybody to let me know their thoughts on that one. A bit of a shakeup over at SmackDown. And Flobo, I want to come to you on this one. Appears they have a new writer in town. Old one's gone, new one's in. And of course, right away, we got Jacob Fatu showing up and just wrecking folks. You cover SmackDown here on Wrestling Inc. It sounds like this new writer already making an impact.
Yeah, shoot if you got it. I understand the long-term storytelling is great. We want that. We're still booking for this year's Mania, next year's Mania, the Mania after that. But things have to happen in the middle. And I'll be honest with you, that last half hour of SmackDown, not going to say it was dragging, but it was kind of embering in a nice little whimper for weeks upon weeks post-Mania. This here flips the script. Solo Sikoa has a whole new cast of characters to work with. So if that was a result of that writer change, and I was all for it.
Yeah, Justin, the big thing for me... obviously a new writer, that's a pretty big deal. Jacob Fatu, though, just already also taking the world by storm. Another individual who wasn't on a huge platform but seems to already have a wide fan base here. And I always like to say I had the chance to ring announce for him one time, and when he came out, I've never felt a room change the way it did when Jacob Fatu came out. Any thoughts on Fatu coming in and new writer in SmackDown?
Well, yeah, Jacob Fatu, I definitely feel like he's made the biggest immediate impact of any of this new Bloodline 2.0 debuts. He feels like he is the biggest star, part of it because of the buzz coming in, part of it because, look, he came in, he took out three of the top babyfaces, and Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton single-handedly. So that's a statement. The new writer, it's John, I forget his last name, but he's, just to clarify, he's been with the company for at least a decade, as best I can remember. He's not new to... the company. I've heard his name, and I know of him, and I know that he's been praised by a lot of people along the way. It's kind of like finally he's getting his getting promoted to the head writer spot. How much effect that has on what we just saw in terms of, like, I don't know how much time it's going to take for his visions to be in place or his pitches to be in place to Triple H, or maybe they already were. I don't know. I can't speak to that, but I can't tell you he's been there for a while. So he's not coming out from the outside in and anything like that. He's been there for a while. He's just, again, finally getting promoted to that spot. So good on him. Cause like I said, from all I've ever heard from anybody is he was nice to work with. So.
Yep. Kenny, by the way, says I'd have never known Jacob Fatu if I didn't see him here locally in PCW. Is that PCW Ultra? I ring announced for him there. That's where I did it. The last two shows. Were you there? It would be cool to know if you guys were there. Kenny, speaking of promotions, though, I want to promote. I just did one. I'm gonna do another promotion here too. This Sunday, following AEW's Forbidden Door, join Jack Farmer and Flobo Boyce as they break down everything that went down during the pay-per-view. So, of course, our after the pay-per-view and PLE shows have been getting a lot of views. People love them. Lots of great feedback on those. join us this time around. Watch, it'll probably be a good 9.5 hours of AEW, and then join us for a review show afterwards. I kid, it won't be that long. It'll be a good show. Lots of fun matchups on there. I'm looking forward to talking about it with Flobo Boyce here, and that'll be on Sunday.
Flobo's right gonna be indoor. Flobo's gonna be in his pajamas by the time you guys get going.
I'm live. An old man. My birthday is tomorrow. I'm even older then.
Oh, really? Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, shoot. Oh, my half birthday is called Christmas, y'all. Nah, my birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, can I ask how old? Or do you? Is that?
Yes.
Is that
No, kayfabe? Kayfabe. I am timeless, like Tony Storm. No, I'll be 39 tomorrow, so I'm gonna be up there. Yeah. Woo.
Well, congratulations for making it this far. Let's talk.
Whoa, are you going to super kick me? What the heck was that? Congratulations for making it this far. Slow clap of the quarter.
WrestleMania made it to 40. Good on you to make it 39, brother. Yeah. Whack. Didn't know which one's going to make it further. Glad you got there.
Wow.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Oh, man, let's talk about this show. But as always, before we do, I want to thank everyone for joining us in the chat, whether it be Rocky, KOD, Stephen Camp, Ethan Cruz, Tuck, Graf, Hubs, Joe C, Lurkin, Malik Black, Philip Capel, and so many more. There's so many of you. I can't shout out everybody or I'd be here for a half hour just reading names. So appreciate you all being here, though. Please like, comment, share, subscribe. And if you're lurking, just do you. Just keep on doing you. Let's talk about the thing that really I think everyone is talking about on all their after shows, and all across the internet, Twitter, Threads, Spill, if people are still over there,
and Tap Line, Tap Line.
MySpace, just all the old
Uncle Howdy's in my top 8 friends right now
on Vine. The videotape, we got a scary delivery by, I don't know if we're calling her Sister Abigail or Nikki Cross or what her name is at this point, but a terrifying delivery of a videotape to Michael Cole. And on it, Uncle Howdy is asking Bo Dallas, I don't know if we're using that name still for him, but well, I'll say Bo Dallas for now, talks about who Bo Dallas is, gets very serious about his brother's passing and the world wanting to forget about the people who are in the Wyatt Six, but the Wyatt Six making everyone remember. Justin, I'm just going to let you take it. I'm not going to tee anything up. Just your thoughts.
Well, first off, the execution of the production of what we saw, the VHS tape, I thought was really well done. I don't know about YouTube, but when that segment started of showing the videotape, I grabbed my remote for my sound bar and I like cranked it up, you know, to a ridiculous, cause I wanted to hear every beat of bass. I wanted to hear every syllable that was spoken. I liked what was done here. My big thing, a cheap plug I'd said on Busted Open this past Sunday was, you know, they have to be human. They can't be ghosts. They have to be mortal. They can be mentally screwed up and tormented or whatever. But like, but when the bell rings, and that can be a long ways away, they have to be human, right? But I also said they can have really complex backstories. And okay, if there's five of them that we know right now, take your time. Let each week give us some context and backstory to who each of these characters are. And we started with who we, I think, would all perceive as the leader in the Uncle Howdy, and that's the logical place to start. And we started to get that. We don't have all the answers. It was a bit of a mind screw here of, as you said, Uncle Howdy. I don't know if we call him Bo Dallas. I don't know if we call him Taylor, because they acknowledge him as Taylor Rotunda in the documentary. But whatever. It leaned into, I just wanted to pay tribute to Bray and... oh, they forgot about us. And like, so it started just to give us a little bit of an angle, and you could take that angle and apply it to Eric Rowan, who has been out of the company for some years, who we know was one of the characters. You could apply it to Dexter Loomis, who was one of the characters who had disappeared for a while. So Nikki Crawl, like, so I'm like, all right, this is on the right path. Like, again, just give me some context of who these people are, why they're mentally where they are, and their connection to Bray. The only knock I have, and then I'll toss it to Flobo, who could probably pick it up from here. The only knock I have that was that, so the whole night we're in Indianapolis, which is where Pat McAfee films his show. It's where he makes his home at now. He's a former Indianapolis Colt. He's not on commentary. He had Michael Cole and Triple H in his studio earlier today for his show on ESPN. Pat McAfee is not seen at all in Raw. And Michael Cole kind of teases that maybe we'll find, we don't know. He's not available. And then Nikki Cross's character lays this box with the VHS tape, but the box apparently is addressed to Pat McAfee. I thought before Raw went off the air, we would see some spooky footage of Pat being bludgeoned by them, interacting with them, whether at his studio or at the arena or whatever. And we didn't. So I'll be curious tomorrow at noon Eastern on ESPN when the Pat McAfee show usually starts, if he's on it, if he's not, if he has an explanation. That was the only kind of weird loose end tonight that I had people text me tonight, like, you know, asking the same question. That's the only thing that was kind of a weird unanswered loose end. But otherwise, I thought what they did tonight was a great continuation without throwing too much at once and just giving you more to be anxious and anticipate for.
Maria in the chat says mysterious tape was creepy and good. Philip says they called her Abby the Witch tonight. I guess I missed that part. But apparently Abby the Witch. Lewis, making the same mistake Cole did, said how convenient they still had a working VHS player. It's a VCR. How old are we all? I mean, I know how old Flobo is, but
hey!
I mean, geez, Michael Cole, I know you know it's called a VCR, but he's like, a weird piece of machinery to play this old footage. But Flobo, I'm just teasing about this. I thought this was incredible. I thought this, I agree with everything Justin said. I feel like it grounded them. So it's not just, oh, we're spooky characters. Now I know who they are. I know their motivation. I always ask, what's the motivation? I have it now. Very heavy acknowledging Bray Wyatt and going into it as much as they did. What are your overall thoughts on this videotape and what do you want to see going forward?
All right. So I'll do it chronologically because when at the end of the Chad Gable match, we'll talk about in a minute, I was not on board with the spooky effects, the smoke and the crawling in the ring. I'm like, what in the Scarlet and Karrion Kross is going on here? That's a reference for the week. It goes to break. I'm already jaded. My eyes are rolling. Here's a box going to Pat McAfee. And I thought it was going to be something like dangerous, like knives or a pie in the face or anthrax. But those security guards didn't care. They're like, good luck, Michael Cole. You got this. So I was like chuckling. Like, this is going to be the most dumbest, stupidest thing I've seen. But we went.
Can I add, by the way, those security guards who were replacing the other security guards that had already been dispatched by.
There was one dude just chilling in the chair, like, yeah, you go open that. Hello, please stand.
Like, the others were just killed. What are you doing? Get up on your feet. Be
this
ready.
Is what happens. Indianapolis, think twice. I'm kidding. So the thing starts, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't the biggest Dallas fan. I loved it in the Mistraj deep cut, but they address all the concerns I had about this. Is it going to be overdone? No. Is it going to be tarnishing Bray's legacy? And Uncle Howdy says, what I want me to do, be a mausoleum for somebody else? And that to me was like, okay, you found a way to find the cynical core of Flopito and make him care with a VHS video. Yeah, of course, I'm an old man, so the little like flashes and stuff is kind of overdone. Whatever. But that video to me saved everything that happened tonight.
Yeah. I have no negative critiques. I think every single fear I had of this, I felt like they answered. Of course, there's still ways to go before they're in the ring and having matches. But let's kind of take things to the Chad Gable matchup, because as he was coming out, and I was actually really worried that this whole thing basically was going to throw away everything that Chad Gable had done. I didn't know how that was going to interact with things. Obviously, he comes with security. He's hiding in the back. He gets the win at the end of the day because Judgment Day gets involved, and now he's going to Money in the Bank. Now he's crawling back to Alpha Academy. Justin, what I thought was going to, I guess, throw a monkey wrench into all these stories they had, actually just breathe new life into them, because now Chad Gable has a reason to come crawling back to the Alpha Academy.
Yeah, no, it leaned right in. It kind of, again, it gives you kind of hope that like they've kind of planned this out. They know what they're doing. You know, last week when the Wyatt 6 attack happened, they had Jey Uso enter his main event match with the crowd and exit the crowd, so he would not be part of the Path of Destruction in the entranceway. They had Braun Strowman, you know, chase Judgment Day away through the crowd. They had Adam Pearce, who's the authority on Raw, chasing down Drew McIntyre as they left the building. So they had like a lot of good attention to detail of like, okay, here's some people we don't want to even be in the fans' minds as eligible to be attacked by this bunch. Chad Gable, who normally would have his entire Alpha Academy students, they left the building also last week because they were fed up with this crap. So this is another example of and it gives me hope. They seem to have a long-term plan, and they seem to be able to like tie up some loose ends. Like I said, the only loose end that wasn't tied up to me was why was the box with the VHS tape addressed to Pat McAfee? But having said that, while we did not get the answer tonight during Raw, based on all this other stuff I'm talking about and saying with you guys, I have hope that they're going to give us some clarity. Again, whether Pat shows up on the show tomorrow on ESPN or a social video surfaces here soon or tomorrow morning or whatever, it seems like they are not just calling us on the fly. There is a plan in place, and that, as fans, I think is all we can ask for, is look, have a plan in place, give us your best. Don't just call this on the fly week to week. Don't just have a plan in place. Maybe it's not the greatest plan. Maybe we'll critique when we see it, but put your best effort forward. And it feels like they are actually trying to do that. And then, oh, by the way, it's personal to all of us as fans a little bit. But it's like, all right, this whole thing is, again, a bit of a legacy to a beloved talent who, again, tragically passed away way too soon. So don't screw this up. in the name of his legacy. Come on.
Flobo, I know you alluded to having some things to say about Gable here. I echo everything Justin Labar said. this feels to me like they are just threading a needle with this thing. This could have gone wrong in a million different ways. And even now, the Pat McAfee thing, I'm fascinated to see why he wasn't there in his hometown, by the way. So it can't be a travel issue. I mean, maybe he had something else going on, but it's not like, oh, he missed the flight or whatever. It's like, this is his backyard. By the way, Michael Cole knocked it out of the park on his own tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, how good is that guy? You wouldn't have even noticed something was wrong if it wasn't part of the story. But Flobo, just your thoughts on this Chad Gable situation now. And also, the Creed brothers have inserted themselves at this point.
Yeah, well, I want to say that Michael Cole is one of the greatest to ever do it in sports broadcasting, period, full stop. In fact, he should be studied. And I know that's the thing kids say nowadays, but he really should be studied. He's a former war correspondent. No, I like the fact that Chad Gable's on the path to not necessarily becoming a face again because he has to go through some stuff, but definitely becoming more relatable. The whole, like, you're stupid to seem like random ChatGPT insult generator stuff, which wasn't working for me personally, but now there is actual deep fear of his well-being, and that's something I can get behind. So I love that as well. I'm a big Bronson Reed mark, so that's why I'm upset about the matchup itself. It seems like this guy always close to chances. He could talk about guy not showing up in his own backyard. They didn't get to go to Elimination Chamber in Perth, so I'm a little bit miffed about that. But the bigger story is this. Money in the Bank is coming a week from now. We have the Creed brothers. We were thought they were going to be on the bench forever. They're getting themselves involved. It is a hot time and a hot segment, and it really does have the layers that you can really pull from week to week, and that's what makes these long shows worth watching.
Yeah, lots of good stuff there. And we continue on to what has been the meat and potatoes of WWE Raw for a long time now, Judgment Day. Lots of stuff happened here. We start with Liv Morgan giving the fellas some gifts and some pictures. But Damian wants them to focus on Braun Strowman. Later in the ring, Liv asks if Dom liked the gifts. Dom's like, dude, leave me alone. Doesn't say dude, but says, Liv, leave me alone. Zelina wants a match, by the way, for the title. Rey Mysterio comes out to break up the whole thing. Dom is just angry and shoves Rey Mysterio, but Liv thinks that she was defending her honor. Flip, I'm going to bounce back to you again on this one. Again, just really well bringing in a lot of people, bringing it, like expanding the story in a way that feels realistic and nice. And I'm enjoying everything about this. And it's also making me think now, Liv, it went from being like a kind of ha-ha thing to like, she's getting kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always say this on, I'm not sure this show specifically, but on all the wrestling shows that we do, that my ranking is always character first, wrestling second, storyline third. I'll be honest with you. Almost everyone in this storyline, how, to me, I was getting kind of bored with. Judgment Day, Liv Morgan, Revenge Tour, even Zelina Vega. But now, tonight, it's almost like, wait, everyone has motivations. This is a new level for this Revenge Tour, whatever that may be. Dom is conflicted. I will never be on Team Dom because I'm sure all the mommies will somehow try to unfollow me. But I understand his sense of concern now because he has Rhea Ripley on the sidelines waiting, and this person's inserting herself, and there's some value there as well. So again, back to layer storytelling. This one here was actually one of the good ones.
I just finished watching the show on Netflix, Baby Reindeer, and it's about a female stalker.
Yes, it is.
You guys watch it? Yeah, and so this is all fresh in my mind. It's about a female stalker, and
Do a deep dive on the real who the stalker is in Baby Reindeer, and she's like, come, we now know her identity. Do that, Jack.
Yeah, I did some research. I was blown away by the fact that the actual guy is the guy.
It's him.
In the show.
Yeah, it's him.
At first, I googled it and I was like, whoa, this guy looks just like the actor.
No, that's him.
His casting was incredible. but. Yeah, Justin, this was, of course, there's still some fun moments because I think these guys are just naturally funny. Again, Carlito with the best that's cool ever in these segments when he looks at the phone. He's like, that's cool. But the way it's slowly twisting from a, this is kind of a funny, silly thing that old Dom's in trouble to, we might be stuck with something now.
Yeah. Look, this is, I mean, Liv Morgan's doing some of her best work. It's great all around. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've heard some different things, nobody truly knows, like, when is Rhea going to be physically able to come back and, like, have a match versus when can she come back and just you know, just be present, and it makes sense to be present. Like, and the great thing is, while you have that kind of while you have that uncertainty, there's so many levels to this. It started with the live Dom, but now you have like the live, like, you know, I think Finn Balor kind of swiped that hotel card. And then tonight he was in the Judgment Day clubhouse when Liv was leaving and Priest came in, and like, so they're creating enough other levels to this to where you're not just relying on the payoff of Liv returning. Like, obviously that's going to be the biggest one. When her music hits that first time and she's in the building and Dom and Liv are also there, like that's going to be a moment. But there's other level, you know, there's the Finn level, and then Priest is questioning Finn, like, dude, you're not helping things. Like, what's going on? Like, so there's a lot here at play. It's great. It's, again, it's storytelling. It's storytelling. This is what you want. You know, I mean, again, good wrestling is great. Bell to bell is great. But as Flobo said, you're ranking on character. What kind of story do they have? You can be a great character, but if you don't have a story, if you have no context of why you're even on the show, that's hard to manage and deal with for on a long-term basis. But there is so much here to sink your teeth in, from Priest as a world champion, who I'm sure we'll talk about in a second here, mm-hmm. and what he's got what he has in the balance. Dom, Finn, you know, JD and Carlito are just trying to keep their Judgment Day clubhouse passes. I mean, this is great. It's really great. Passes. I love it.
Well, and we talk a little bit about how she's sunk her teeth in now with Finn Balor and what's going on with Finn Balor and Flobo. I say they can't get rid of her because now she's actually helping them a lot. She spoke with R-Truth and tricked him into giving Judgment Day a tag team championship match. And they won the match. So now they have the tag team championships with Liv Morgan to thank for it. If you are a member of Judgment Day at this point, if you are Finn or JD, why would you get rid of Liv? She just helps you get a tag team championship. Even though you know it's toxic, it's also like there's a reason why you'd say, listen, Rhea ain't here right now, and Liv is getting us all this cool stuff.
Cool swag. Look at these belts on Shop Zone.
And she sent him very nice pictures via text.
That's
she
true.
She did. She did. No,
I don't think they were of her lunch, but
well, swipe left. No, I feel
it was not food porn.
I'm torn, man, because this is what I'm talking about. How it's so great. Like it reminds me, I don't want to mention a one-to-one transfer, but of House of Cards, right? The whole show was someone didn't get what they wanted, and they leveraged everybody to get what they did. And so if you're on the revenge tour side of the Liv conflict, she's doing everything right. Now, it did break my heart tricking R-Truth, because he's kind of like a nice little mascot. So it's like, ooh, that Liv Morgan. But I guess that's the whole point of wrestling, am I right? But I'll be with you. If I'm Finn Balor and I'm JD, they attempted to get those titles back, what, four times on Raw? Mm-hmm. But now they're the champs. And the belts themselves look even better. I think this is someone you want to keep around. I think this is like when JD was into the fold, where Damon has his reservations, but Damon's distracted with his own thing, you know?
Yeah. Justin, any final thoughts on Liv Morgan, Judgment Day, and this connection?
No, it's a great soap. It is such a great soap opera. And WWE, you know, again, they've obviously soap opera is not new to them, but I feel like there's been a lot of attempts in the recent years where it's felt cheesy, it's felt forced, it's felt uncomfortable, a lot of different adjectives that are not positive. But this feels like it's spicy, but you want to tune in, and it's advancing things. Just tonight, Liv got Judgment Day tag team titles. You know, Liv, like, she got Dom a match with his deadbeat dad. Like, it's advancing things across the board. It feels there's a plan in place, and it's and Liv, by the way, let's give credit to her.
Yeah,
for somebody who had a title reign once before. And I interviewed her right about the time that she had the title, and she was a great, she was a fun interview, and she's a fan. She's a true fan. In fact, one of the segments that we did in our interview was, she was coming to Pittsburgh for an event, and I gave her some historic things that happened in WWE history in Pittsburgh. And I knew as a fan, she'd be able to hang with this. And I said, like, rank them. And she did it. It was a lot of fun. I mean, Mick Foley being thrown off the Hell in a Cell and whatever. It was a lot of fun. But even after that, as nice as she was and all that, it was like, I look back now and I'm like, you know, her gimmick then was that she was like the lifelong fan who was happy to be champion. And that's not, that's only going to get you so many miles. This, even if she's a champion and it was an audible call because Rhea got injured, Liv is as her stock is high as ever right now. I mean, like, again, just wait until Rhea resurfaces. Wait. That's, you know, that's comparable to Drew and CM Punk, really. I mean, in terms of, if you look at apples to apples, in terms of, like, there's going to be a, oh my God, I cannot wait to see them physically touch because there's such a problem here.
Yeah, that reaction is going to be incredible. And you mentioned CM Punk. Of course, we started the show with Drew McIntyre saying he's back. He wasn't retiring. He's just playing around. He shows this video from SmackDown where he bloodied CM Punk and stole his friendship bracelet, which doesn't sound as serious as it was supposed to be.
Wait a minute.
It was actually his Taylor Swift era's tour bracelet. They just.
I didn't mean to make it sound like that, but that's what it was.
You meanie. Drew McIntyre's a meanie.
Stole his friend. But Drew McIntyre ends by saying he's entering Money in the Bank. But Adam Pearce says he doesn't deserve it after everything that's gone on. Flobo, I'm going to throw a heater to you. Are there too many fake retirements in WWE right now? We had Rich Holland recently. We had AJ Styles. Becky Lynch is kind of on one now. Drew McIntyre, do you think they're overdoing it?
To be fair, he didn't retire. He quit. I expected to be on SmackDown. I'm like, Aldis, let's move everything over here. But yeah, you don't get to walk into the building, crossing the camera with a goat. Michael Cole is telling us about a VHS video or whatever the package is going to be from last week to say, I need to be the Money in the Bank. Actually, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am surprised that Drew even cares about the Money in the Bank ladder match. I figure he wants to be waiting in the wings and just beat people up so you can be the true number one contender. But to put yourself in a body, to give yourself 1/6 of a chance to do it, doesn't seem very Scottish Warrior-like to me, to be honest with you.
Oh, of course. More people to fight. That's Scottish Warrior 101.
Okay, more like an English warrior. I'm just saying, but, we wouldn't do that.
But yeah, that's so. Justin, this was actually kind of my thought going into this: is he's going to get into Money in the Bank, and CM Punk's going to cost him. Are we getting to a point where they've done this a bit too much, and that it's becoming kind of predictable, or is it still fun because we know it's going to happen?
That's a great question. You know, the way Punk screwed him in Scotland was so beautifully done, from the camera work to how, you know, Punk slid in but you didn't know it was Punk for sure. I agree, you know, Drew's trying to make sure he's in Money in the Bank, and it's like, okay, we, you know, Punk's not gonna let that happen. A little bit, but also it's just at this point, look, every time Drew takes the ring with a mic, 10,000 people or whatever it is start chanting CM Punk's name, and Punk's not even there in Indianapolis tonight. This has so much heat that's like, well, I can see why you just lean into, like, just keep screwing each other. Like, I mean, just keep messing with each other's lives. And then, of course, Drew took a very personal route tonight. You know, it already felt very real already, to their credit. But then he takes the bracelet and he cuts a promo on CM Punk's dog and his wife. You know, like, what's more personal to a man than his wife and his dog? So on the one hand, I get it. Like, you would think Drew would just say, the hell of the title, I need to, like, just put this guy in his place. But the whole origin of all this is Drew wants to be WWE champion. He values this company. He wants to be the company flag bearer. That was his whole problem with Punk coming back anyway, is Punk's a cancer to this company. And, oh, by the way, when Drew was champion prior, it was during a pandemic era. So not the most celebrated time and appreciated time to be a champion, probably underlooked. That's a shoot. And then he wins the title for 4 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it is, until Punk screws him with the whole thing at Mania. So it does make sense that like Drew is keeping his eye on the ball, that he wants to be the WWE champion. He's always better than this little pissant CM Punk who shouldn't even be associated with the company. So I think in the long term, I think it does make sense that the way they're going about it. Yes, it's very predictable. Drew is not winning Money in the Bank.
Whoa!
It's very predictable. But it makes sense that that's why he would keep his eye on that ball. Is he's not going to let CM Punk, at least not to this point, take his attention away. Maybe after finally getting screwed out of Money in the Bank, that's when it's finally like, okay, all right, if I'm not going to be champion, I'm at least going to be the one that's going to murder your career. SummerSlam it is. I'm going to do it on a big stage, and this is going to be your last match. That's how I kind of look at all this going down.
I like it. And I actually think it makes a lot of sense just in general from a character perspective, because I think Drew McIntyre in character believes he's put CM Punk away. I think he believes that CM Punk's done. I attacked him on SmackDown. He's never coming back, and he's going to be sitting at home. I'm done. I'm time to get back to the world title. Now, we as fans know that's not the case, but I think that character believes, and I think he continues to believe, that's why he wasn't ready at Clash the Castle. That's why he's never ready for CM Punk, because I think he believes, I've finished with him. He's done. He ain't coming back. And that's why he keeps getting in trouble.
And now that he spoke, he didn't say her by name, but now that he acknowledged CM Punk's wife, who all of us know is AJ, former worker, if she's of course willing, if they would do something in the build where she's present or whatever, if he gets his hands on her or compromises her safety, she's so beloved anyways. She's another one who, she won the Divas Championship. She was like the last Divas champion who was to the crowd, like, okay, we want women's wrestling. We want a women's champion. We don't want a Divas champion. And she never got to really see that whole thing through on the whole women's revolution, because she had departed the company, I think probably because of how her husband was being treated, with the lawsuits and all the stuff. So I think like she holds a special place to the audience's heart. If they include her in any way, I think it's hard to imagine, but I think that's going to add even more level of personal to this, because she's so beloved. She's a worker and she's Punk's real life wife. So I don't know if that was a foreshadowing tonight with him, the bracelet, and mentioning her as his wife, but if they bring her into this, I think that's just going to take this to a whole other level. And I'm here for it, for the soap opera drama.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This was a great week, but we got a few other things I want to cover. Braun Breaker versus Ludwig Kaiser. Kaiser cheats, Braun powers through. Sheamus gets involved. This one gets thrown out. Later, Breaker gets an IC title shot. I think Braun and Ludwig are two of my absolute favorite wrestlers right now. But a couple things kind of caught me off guard here. Braun Breaker, is he a face? I feel like we didn't know what side of the fence he was on, but more and more this match felt like we're supposed to like the fella.
Well, I do say, if Jimmy Corderas was here, he would not like me using the T word, but you get one a roster. I do think that Braun's a tweener because he's just the athletic freak. I could do without him being called a badass by saying he's a badass, but that's where he is. His goals are to wreck everybody, and some people are getting involved in his matchup. That means someone is preventing him from having a decision. So by definition, that would make him a face. But he's so mean and so tan, you wonder if he's a bad guy. You know what I'm saying? So I do think, I don't know. I mean, come on, it's kind of weird, isn't it? it's like chocolate syrup at this point. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you're a young kid, you're probably like, oh, man, that's really cool. I want to get that action figure. So why not have somebody who's a face with some edge? That's what Braun is.
Justin, now, as a person who watches the show, I'm totally okay with Braun Breaker getting an Intercontinental Championship matchup. But as someone who overanalyzes too much, he's technically a guy who's just lost his last two matches via DQ. It doesn't feel like he should be getting a title shot.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're doing a ranking system, yeah, it would not. But I think that's where you have to just look at emotion and feel and destruction. Like maybe he hasn't got the W's, but he's made such an impact on what he's done with Sheamus and what he's done with Kaiser. And, you know, with Bron Breakker, here's what I feel like, you know, and it's really relevant right now because we have the whole Who Killed WCW documentary going on. And, you know, so you see, you revisit Goldberg and the phenomenon that was Goldberg from 97 through 98. And we've seen other, you know, other, what we kind of perceive as replications of Goldberg, you know, Ryback, maybe even for a minute, you know, Veer is coming. You know, we've seen the whole, let's Kozlov. Build it. Kozlov. We've seen the build of, like, let's build this monster and they're indestructible. And ultimately what ends up usually happening is all the builds are the same. They beat a whole lot of people that don't really matter. And then when it comes time for the belt to really ring, you know, are we there? Bron Breakker in his Raw existence has been against people for the most part that have mattered. Sheamus, Kaiser, and they've kind of leaned into he's a badass. He can beat either one. He can beat a face. He can beat a heel. But I think that it's kind of like it fits though, right? Like, don't just peg him to where he's got to beat just one or the other. He's a badass who wants to rise to the top. He's going to go through you. And I hate tweeners. I hate that term. But I do think that he is maybe an exception to the rule where it's like, you know what? Yeah, he was taking on Kaiser, who's clear cut a heel, and nobody's going to be sympathetic to Kaiser. But then Sheamus comes in for a little bit of redemption. And it's like, all right, well, now you can see Sheamus, you better be watching out. This Absolutely. Dude's going to come. Like, what I'm basically saying is he's doing Goldberg as well as anybody's done since Goldberg. You know, Goldberg had the streak. Goldberg was beating everybody, more heels than not, but he still beat a little bit of everybody, and you just were on for it because it was Goldberg and he was badass. It feels like Bron Breakker's doing it as well as anybody has since then. It's making sense. If you know that's how I'm taking it, so I'm fine with this, and I do think he's probably IC title bound very soon because the way they put the TV time to him, he seems to be hitting the mark for them.
Yeah, I asked the question, but I don't care. I'm a huge Bron Breakker fan. Give him the title. I want to see him run over people. We got a promo. Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, and Gunther are all out there. Damian Priest says he's Seth Rollins' successor. Rollins says no one believes in Priest being the guy. They decided to make a deal that if Rollins loses at Money in the Bank, he can't challenge for the title again until Damian Priest loses the championship. And if Priest loses, he has to leave the Judgment Day. Gunther comes out and just says, hey, doesn't really matter because I'm going to come and chop you. Flobo, did this stipulation add any interest to you for this matchup at Money in the Bank, or are you still kind of where you were before?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to Gunther being the Jack Farmer of the episode. It's like, I'm just well dressed and I don't really care. Peace. That was kind of awesome. No,
great hair too.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. It was on point. I'm with you. The stipulation just didn't hit for me. It reminds me of like a TNA stipulation when Sting's like, if I lose, I'll leave my group. And you're like, what if I win? Oh yeah. So here's the deal. So you have Damian, and I like him as world champion. He has his own fans. You see him at Yankee games throwing off first pitches, but there always seems to be something missing. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago. It feels like his backstage voice is his in-ring voice. And so Seth Rollins comes out, still I think a little bit too early from his return from Mania, and basically says what we're all thinking. Hey, look, you hold the title, but people associate that title with me. And that title's only a year old, which should not happen at a title that young. So matches on board. I love it. If Seth loses, because he pretty much came out of nowhere and became the number one contender, I believe the fact he shouldn't get a rematch. I'm with that. But Damian being like, oh yeah, the group needs me, and no one cared that he said that, and him going, I accept your challenge. I go, why? The whole point of being in a group is to have the numbers game. Why would you put that on the line in a matchup that you may actually lose straight up to one of the best in the world? You said it yourself. So I like Damian, but totally a bonehead idea in character for him today.
See, I was kind of on the opposite end, where I like, it feels like he's been saying forever, I don't even need them. So to say you got to leave them, it feels like, well, it feels like he's about to leave on his own anyway. So what's the, I feel like it doesn't really have a lot of weight for him in this case. Justin, the thing that took me back on this one, though, is it feels like for months, Damian Priest has been someone who's been sort of a tweener between whether we boo them or cheer them. But tonight, clearly heavily booed.
He was standing next to Seth Rollins, but it does seem like this is going to solidify him breaking off of Judgment Day and that they are going to go with a babyface Priest. You know, he doesn't like Liv's involvement, even if it is to help gain titles for Judgment Day for her own, you know, and her own whatever, like, you know, and he's sticking up for Rhea, who Rhea's clearly a face to the crowd. So it feels like Priest is going to move to babyface anyway. So this kind of makes sense in this, in the way of he's going to go into the match against Seth Rollins. He's going to be less liked. He's going to be the heel. But if the result is Seth wins, and then Damian is no longer part of Judgment Day, that kind of fits. And the crowd's like, all right, you lost your title, bud, but thank God you're free of those guys. You don't need to be part of them. I mean, the stipulation absolutely 110% added way more intrigue to this match. A week ago when they made this match, I was like, all right, well, whatever. Seth's back. Good for him. He's rehabbed quickly. This adds so much more intrigue. I'm a huge Priest fan personally, professionally. Sadly, if I'm predicting this, I have to say it looks like it's going to be Seth taking the title, going on to fight Gunther. That's your sexy marquee of a match of Seth versus Gunther, and then Priest is going to be dealing with, you know, Finn or what, you know, whatever, you know, whatever fallout comes to be with the Judgment Day. But yeah, I mean, all in all, this was exciting. This stipulation added a lot, and I was like, all right, well, now you have my attention.
Flobo, you're making all sorts of faces at that. I got to let you respond.
I can just imagine if Seth wins that match, what is Damian Priest going to do? Roll backstage and go, sorry, guy, I'm not allowed to hang out with you anymore. Like, it's curfew? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. I was already on board for the matchup. I didn't need that. If you want him to leave, make him leave another way. That, to me, just seems really, really silly, and I hope it doesn't come to pass. But if it does, I'll be rolling my eyes super hard.
I have an idea.
Oh, go, Jack, and I'll go after you.
What if Finn Balor costs Damian Priest
there
the
it
match
is.
On
That's
purpose.
It. That's yes. it. That's it. And Finn now, does something because he
Finn's
wants Priest out of Judgment Day.
Oh, man. So that's what it is? He's going to be the leader of Judgment Day, of a weaker Judgment Day without Rhea or Damian?
No, it's now he has Liv.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, he thinks they're stronger with Liv, and now all of a sudden you have a situation of you have Priest, you have a returning Rhea, and then you have Finn, Liv, and then who is Dirty Dom side with?
Well, I don't fantasy book, but that's pretty dope. Fine. I'll allow it. I don't like it, but I'll allow it.
We got a couple of segments here. I'm just going to kind of bunch them together, and you guys can let me know your overall thoughts. Lyra Valkyria, she beats Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler to qualify for Queen of the Ring. Isla Dawn and Alba Fire beat Caden Carter and Katana Chance and are attacked by Damage Control afterwards.
Money in the Bank. It's the Queen of the Ring.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Money in the Bank. I'm sorry. Lyra Valkyria had almost won Queen of the Ring. I'm not good at taking notes. But then also, Karrion Kross defeats Kofi Kingston as the Final Testament attack Xavier Woods in the locker room. Justin, these all have implications. I don't know if they really play out much tonight, but any thoughts on these?
I'm not going to even really say anything on the women's. It is what it is. I'm going to say this to Cross and Kingston. I like the fact that there's like some context and substance to a Cross story we've been building towards here, this thing with Kingston and Xavier Woods. Michael Cole noted on commentary, and if you go to Cross's Twitter, it shows us. This is kind of a cool, again, give some. Karrion Kross, apparently going into this match, has beaten six former and or current, because one of them was, I think, Priest, six former and or current WWE World Champions. This goes back to his NXT days with beating Finn and And I hadn't realized that. If you actually, and you go to his Twitter, it has the six people that he's beat. And then now beating Kingston, although maybe short-lived as a world champion, still was a world champion, makes seven. He acknowledged seven on the screen. I was like, okay, that's really good. We have a story here of Cross trying to like recruit somebody from the New Day. And we have story and soap opera here. And now, although it was a very quiet six victories over the span of time, because I think one of them was also Jeff Hardy too, you know, and I love Jeff, but it was in a very weird space when they called Cross up. But I'm like, all right, this is a kind of stat that's pretty good to like give me some attention. All right, yeah, you beat seven world champions before. So I like that angle to it. The women, it is what it is. It's moving on. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was to Scott Langford asking if we talked about it. Yeah, we just mentioned Isla Dawn and Alba Fire beat Caden Carter and Katana Chance, and then were attacked by Damage Control. I think this is really kind of a wait-and-see situation more so than anything to take away from it tonight. I think what you saw is what you get on those ones. But Flobo, the Karrion Kross, Kofi Kingston thing, one of the things I was thinking of, now I know you have personal feelings about you know, the New Day and Final Testament, but is Final Testament in kind of a tough spot in the sense that you've got the dark and mysterious Wyatt Six, you've got sort of the dark and not mysterious, but sort of the gothic Judgment Day, and then you've got also Final Testament. I mean, three teams that all kind of are in that same genre.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned. If you asked me this about 6 weeks ago, I would say absolutely. But ever since one person on the internet says I have an agenda, I've been making it my whole purpose to break this down. So what I liked about what Karrion Kross and Final Testament have done, or how they pivoted to, is saying, look, the spooky stuff has to be Wyatt Six. Give them all the spooky effects and stuff like that. And then Judgment Day, they're kind of like a biker gang. Not like in the literal sense, but they're kind of like a bunch of guys that can beat you up. They don't really do that kind of like you never knew me stuff anymore. Now you have Karrion Kross and Final Testament being really more of like the slimy leverage guys. I go back 20 years ago to the I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, Sean O'Hare. Thing he did right before he teamed with Piper. What I liked about this is that there's someone working in the back of the writer's room saying, we're going to find something to make Karrion Kross cool. Because frankly, beating former champions is straight out of an anime, and I'm finally on board. I get what he wants. That was my biggest thing I've asked for years. Every year, Santa Claus, I want to be rich. I want to know how to speak Spanish. I want Karrion Kross to have a direction, and we finally got it. Hallelujah.
Wow. I not going to try to top that. That does it. So that wraps up this after show for Monday Night Raw. Everyone in the chat, let me know what you thought, but let me go around the horn here. Justin, any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
No, another good episode of Raw. I mean, they're firing. It's crazy. Raw used to be the, it's 3 hours. God, three too long. And 3 hours is long, but they're making the most of these 3 hours. Raw is, I think, the better show than SmackDown, quite frankly, right now. And I get because it has a bigger roster because it's an hour longer show. But Raw's firing in all cylinders, and I'm, you know, intrigued for it now. I'm intrigued for it when it gets to Netflix, as we talked about earlier. But they're doing a lot of good things. Big build up to Money in the Bank, even bigger build up to SummerSlam. So where days in the past, summertime might have been a downtime for WWE, we phoned it in. Not the case here. Follow me at Justin Labar. I won't be here on Mondays for the next couple of weeks due to my schedule, so I will miss both of you and the audience here on Monday. I will be on next Sunday's Busted Open on SiriusXM, so check me out there, 9 a.m. to noon on SiriusXM channel 156.
Such good stuff with WWE right now, Flobo. I feel like they had a bunch of storylines that were getting places, but I think one of the critiques was that they were taking too long to get to some of these. It felt like they shook everything up and totally, they renovated the house. Like, the house is still here though. All the stories are still are played out, but now it feels fresh and new and exciting again. I feel like this was a phenomenal week. And I think that's going to be underrated because maybe there wasn't a big surprise or something like that. But I think this was a masterclass in how you freshen up a show quickly without just blowing it up. But what were your thoughts, and where can the world find you?
I think that's not blowing it up was the best part about it, because we've seen Raws where it's like, hey, you're the authority, and then it just changes randomly the next week. So this was pretty cool. Very awesome. This is the Wrestling Inc. after show for Monday Night Raw. One of my favorites to be here, being joined by two legends, Jack Farmer in the SoCal area doing the ring announcing and commentary. Justin LaBar, people don't know about Justin LaBar. This guy built an entire genre. We wouldn't be here today if these guys got within their 380p 56k modem and sat at the table for Chairshot Reality 20 years ago. But you can follow me at drapedingold.com, where Jack Farmer and I every Wednesday breaks down NXT and all that jazz. I gotta find a way to watch NXT after Birthday Shenanigans. That's gonna be a tough play, but I'm gonna make it work. But again, so glad to be here. I'll be back here next week in place Justin LaBar from the Monday Night Raw after show.
And I want to thank everyone who's here with us. Tut Graff, Scott Langford, Adonde. Am I saying it right this time? I feel bad. I don't have the George Hermosa way of saying it correctly, but I'm trying my best. Killer of Demons, Super Dave, Arkale. Thank you guys so much for being here. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And you can find me on the After AEW show on Wednesdays and Draped in Gold on Wednesdays as well, actually. Also, make sure to check us out on this weekend after AEW Forbidden Door to cover that. Flobo and I are going to be on that one, chatting about everything that goes down there. Great.
And to the plug to that, because you guys will be live immediately. Real quick, has there ever been more pressure on an AEW pay per view? I feel like the way that things have gone with the TV numbers and everything, like I feel like there's a certain pressure of like, all right, you got to deliver on this show right now. There's a certain rightly or wrongly, a certain narrative that's going on about AEW right now and their programming and their numbers and everything, attendance. Like, I think this is, so again, plug to you guys of hearing your immediate reactions. This is a huge, huge, huge event for them in their early 5-year career, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's especially because WWE is knocking it out of the park right now. It's one thing if it's a little tough, but everyone's in some tough sledding. WWE is on a couple years at this point of just knocking it out of the park. And so it's not okay to be in a slump.
Yeah, I mean, WWE's SmackDown this week is going to be at MSG, and they're going to do the small entrance because they're going to maximize the seats. And based upon ticket prices and demand and everything, it's very possible this SmackDown will be the largest gate of SmackDown ever. Maybe the largest TV. I mean, like whatever they're, it's very possible it's gonna be record setting. Is my point. So like again, if you're AEW, I know it's not always fair to say compare WWE to AEW because WWE had a 60-year head start, but sure. This is a big deal for AEW this weekend to deliver on the premise that is Forbidden Door.
And not even it doesn't have to have the same ratings or numbers or things, but it's got to show that like a trajectory. It's got to show,
right.
It's got to come out with a positive basically what it's got to be. So yeah. It's going to be a big one. Make sure to check that out. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest news. Also, I want to say it's Super Dave Arsale. Hopefully I say it right that time. And Super Dave, if I say it wrong next time, just keep correcting me. Eventually I'll get it. But thank you guys so much for joining us. Follow at Wrestling Inc. and make sure to check out the After NXT show tomorrow right here on Wrestling as well. That does it for us. We're hitting the end stream button. We're out of here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.